As flames and smoke poured from the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, an ugly noise arose from the left, blaming September 11th on America and the ideals of American liberty. Why do Muslim extremists and the world's intellectual elite really hate America? 10 days after September 11th, and the same evening as President Bush addressed a joint session of Congress, Cato Senior Fellow Tom Palmer delivered a moving and insightful speech at a special Cato Donors Conference.
What I do want to do is to help us to focus our attention and our thinking on the big picture as to what's at stake, because what we saw was an attack on civilization itself. And it's our job at the Cato Institute to defend civilization in whatever ways are, to borrow a phrase from the United States Constitution, necessary and appropriate. As we speak, it's our society that is being blamed for those horrible events. Namely, we're being told we asked for it. Now, we heard two figures from the so-called religious right articulate this. Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson said we deserved it because of the ACLU and homosexuals and all the other problems in America. They quickly backed down. What they said was so bizarre and unbelievable that they both apologized. They said, well, we don't know what we were thinking. But here's exactly the same argument given by Robert Kaiser, the assistant editor of the Washington Post, who had a profoundly disturbing front page editorial on Sunday in the Washington Post in the Outlook section. It's rambling and incoherent, but let me read to you a few of the highlights. The general thrust of it is, we asked for the attack, we deserved it. He said, we are the leading world power, but we rarely lead the world. What great American initiative has helped solve the global problem in recent times? We give much less per capita than other industrialized nations to help the world's poorest peoples. We stand apart on numerous issues that others believe deserve concerted action, from banning landmines and nuclear testing to reducing the emission of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. He blames us for not having signed the Kyoto Accord, which undoubtedly inflamed the Muslim clerics who authorized this attack. He said, we have been fat and happy for 2 decades. Never before have we combined so much prosperity with so much peace. Isn't that terrible? Since 1980, the number of cars and trucks registered in this country has grown from 155 million to about 220 million. What more reason could there have been for the attack? But it goes on. Americans have been getting fatter, too. 20% of us are now obese, more than twice the percentage 20 years ago. No wonder they blew up those buildings. In these 20 years, Americans turned away from public affairs, voted less often, watched less news on television, and read fewer newspapers. But he says, here's the silver lining, a new mood was evident last week. The country was glued to its television sets and gobbled up newspapers in huge quantities. The Washington Post printed 150,000 extra copies of Wednesday's paper and sold every one. Well, how special for the Washington Post. The general thesis of his article was, we are guilty. We deserved it. We asked for it. We're rich. We're prosperous. We deserve what's coming to us. Now, this general attack on civil society or bourgeois society, they mean fundamentally the same thing, has been going on for a very long time. Joseph Schumpeter, the great economist, once remarked that the critics of capitalism always change the indictment. Capitalism is guilty for the immiseration of the masses, which turned out, of course, not to be true. But then capitalism was guilty for corrupting the masses with too many consumer goods. As Schumpeter pointed out, always the indictment is different. But the verdict in their pocket is always the same. Guilty, guilty, guilty. No matter what the indictment. Now, it's not merely Islamic fanatics who are responsible for these attacks, but also our own intellectuals at the finest universities. For instance, I want to read a few remarks from my own supervisor at Oxford University, John Gray. He has a book called False Dawn. It's been a bestseller. It is a bitter and vicious attack on America. And here, I don't want to sound particularly nationalistic, But he hates everything about America. He hates our Constitution. He hates our laws. He hates our civilization, our culture, our economic system. So let me read to you just a few points, because every problem in the world, according to John, is ultimately traceable to the guilt of the Americans. He says, quote, "A global free market is the enlightenment project of a universal civilization, sponsored by the world's last great enlightenment regime. The United States is alone in the late modern world in the militancy of its commitment to this enlightenment project." And he identifies the enlightenment project as capitalism, reason, technology, limited government, individualism, all of which he considers vicious and terrible. He says, when Reaganite activists claimed to have set in motion a revolution in the United States, they were, as it has turned out, not exaggerating. They launched a ranting eulogy of technology, a demonization of government, and a militant assertion that all social evils are problems soluble by market forces. And to give you an idea of the profound irrationality of his approach, he openly endorses the Luddite perspective, the attack on technology, and he says, growing income inequalities have been magnified by deregulation of the labor market and neoliberal tax policies, which is another word for lower taxes. But the root cause of falling wages and rising unemployment is the spread of technology. Now think about that for a moment. The reason for falling wages and rising unemployment, these alleged problems, is technology. If only we didn't have technology, just think about how wonderful the world would be. In fact, as has been pointed out, the easiest route to totally full employment would be to ban the use of farm machinery. Were we to do that, we could guarantee a fully employed society, all of whose members were on the verge of starvation. So everything bad in the world is the responsibility of American constitutionalism, American capitalism, American individualism, American corporate values, and what he deridingly calls shareholder capitalism. Imagine that, being responsible to your shareholders if you're a business manager. Now, it's not clear what John Gray and the other intellectuals who have launched this ferocious attack on capitalism and on the Enlightenment want. What they want is to eliminate the Enlightenment. What they want is to eliminate science, technology, reason, capitalism, the market. Indeed, what they would especially like to do is to eliminate America. I want to speak for then a few moments about what are the positive characteristics of our civilization, the ones that are really worth defending, the things that you would go to the ramparts on behalf of. The first is the idea of equality before the law, that all human beings, regardless of anything else about them, are to be considered equal before the law, that their color, their religion, their creed, their sex is irrelevant. Specifically, that we are all equally free, and that our relationships amongst one another are to be determined by voluntary association and free agreement, or as the legal historian Henry Sumner Maine put it, a society of contract rather than one of status. This is an achievement of modernity, and it is one worth cherishing, but it is under intellectual assault. Second is the idea that wealth should be acquired by acts of productivity and exchange, rather than appropriation or theft or simply being born into a privileged class of people or a privileged caste or nobility. As Tom Paine once put it so brilliantly, he said, nobility is just a short way of saying no ability. But in America, people could rise because of their abilities, not because they were born the third Viscount of such and such. Third, the idea of religious toleration, namely, that each one of us can follow our own faith or lack of faith and to do so in peace one with another. And then finally, the fourth principle following on that, the rule of law, that we wish to live under government of law rather than of men, in which the rules can be understood retrospectively and are not mere assertions of arbitrary power. It's not an accident that F.A. Hayek, in his book The Constitution of Liberty in 1960, dedicated it, quite strikingly for an Austrian, he dedicated it to the unknown civilization that is growing in America. The unknown civilization that is growing in America, which she so greatly admired. And that civilization is under attack. It's our job, I'd even say it's our duty, to defend that civilization. The idea of equal rights without tribal distinctions, the rule of law rather than the rule of power and arbitrary will, the free market rather than statism, and the open commercial society rather than protectionism. It's not an accident that the buildings that were attacked and totally destroyed were the World Trade Center. They were the perfect target for the enemies of our civilization. Those buildings were full of thousands of people of every color, religion, creed, from every country on the globe. All of them were at work creating wealth through the simple act of exchange, the most innocent of all possible acts. It was a symbol for our civilization. And that symbol is now a mass of smoking ruins. Let us resolve not to allow that to be the fate of our civilization itself.